Today is March 4th, and when we're learning about HaMelech VaHanavi, we're going under the assumption that the Melech in Israel listens to the Navi. Good. Shmuel told Shaul, you're losing your kingdom because you fought a battle without me. We don't win battles by kings, we win battles by Nevi'im. They fight with horses, they fight with chariots, we fight in the name of God. So it was a small infraction for which Shaul is told he loses his kingdom. We've seen many examples of this so far. And the Navi has his way with the king. The Navi should have the common sense and the common decency to talk properly to the king. We shouldn't take advantage of his position in Israel to disparage the king unnecessarily. But the prophet can unabashedly point his finger at the king without fear. Okay? That will obviously change when we have bad kings. The question is, do we have a good, benevolent king who somehow he loses himself and his downfall is a mistreatment of a prophet? So we're going to see two examples of this. One example is the king we just read about this past Shabbos. We are entering very new ground now. Because until now there was so much fertile material about Shaul and Shmuel, about David and Natan and Gad. You can make a whole course on that alone. The anomaly about Shlomo is that a Navi never talks to Shlomo. God talks to him directly 5 times. I told you about the Malbim's introduction to Shir HaShirim. It says that Shlomo wrote Shir HaShirim out of those 5 conversations. It's a big chiddush. If you want to see more about this, take a look at the Malbim's introduction to Shir HaShirim. The prophet, of course, the next time a prophet speaks to a king is before he's king, is where Achiah HaShiloni tells Yeravam ben Nevat that you are going to be the rod of God's wrath against the kingdom of Shlomo, and you will help split it. Okay, that split was made inevitable, according to the Gemara in Yuma, when David said to split the king, the field, and perhaps also when Shlomo said to split the child, right? It set aside a certain type of moral fabric of the way these kings talk with such an impetuous disregard for protocol that they could just throw off a psak. All right, split the field. I told you, split the field. Split the baby, right? You sure that that's a good idea? Of course, Shlomo never meant to split the baby, but people thought he did, and that's that in itself is an abuse of power. So, when the next king, Yeravam ben Nevat, this is where I concluded 2 weeks ago, when he is offering some incense and sacrificing to the calves in one of his shrines. Right, so it doesn't say who, it just says a man of God came to him, and he Yeravam ben Nevat pointed his finger at him and said, seize that man, kill him. He's threatening this shrine, and he's saying that someone will come one day and wipe out this shrine. He names him Yoshiyahu in the future. And the prophet freezes his hand, right? And Yeravam sees that he can't move his hand. Right? Did he hypnotize him? Whatever, it was a miracle from God. Yeravam was so taken aback by this that he swore to him just to do anything, just get me my hand back. So I guess the man should have gotten some kind of guarantee before doing so. Right? But as soon as Yeravam had his hand back, he went back to his old treacherous ways. And there's only one other interaction a prophet has with Yeravam is when Yeravam's son falls sick. And Yeravam tells his wife to disguise herself and ask Achiah HaShiloni what's going to happen to our son. Right? Why would she disguise herself? Because maybe she thought that the prophet doesn't like us anymore, right? So when Achiah was very old at the time, he's already losing his senses. And when he hears the footsteps, he tells his attendant, that sounds like the king's wife. So he says, tell her that she should go back home, her son, so that she may be able to catch her son before he dies. She didn't. By the time she got home, he was dead already. He speaks to her with guile. He speaks to her with other contempt that was by that time very deserving. Right? Yeruvim had great promise. Right? But he... I told you it was Yeruvim Svara. He tried to safeguard against Baal worship by allowing Egel worship. At least the object of the Egel worship is God. Okay, it was a mistake. Okay, the subject of today's king prophet discussion is going to be two kings. One is going to be Asa, and the other is going to be Yoash. Okay, Asa and Yoash. So let's turn to Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Yud Bet. Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Yud Dalet. I'm sorry. Yud Dalet.
Yud Dalet?
Yud Dalet, yes. Chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles. You're in 1, you need 2.
Chapter Yud Dalet?
Yes, 14. Okay. So you see, our king is a good guy. It says, Vayas Oso Hatov Vahyashar B'nei Hashem Elokav. Plus the fact that he ruled 41 years at a time where the northern tribes were ruled by increasingly wicked kings, so that Asa ruled during the time of numerous northern kings who were killed off one after the other.
What did you hear that first sentence?
Hmm?
That he did Hayashar?
Vayas Asa Tova Hayashar B'nei. He got rid of all of the bummos. He got rid of his own mother, the Tanakh says, was an idolater. And he made her to be a balas tshuva, and he really cleaned up a very bad situation. Okay, his name is Asa Aleph Samach Aleph. Okay, and there was he was very well known for his military exploits. Right. So let me just show you what is Asa's greatest military defense. Is Pasuk Yud. Look at Pasuk Tes in verse 14, chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 9, it says, Vayetze Asa Lefanav. Asa went out to fight the Ethiopians. That's the war is with here. Okay. And they set up for battle in the valley of, some say this is Tzfat, right? Moresha is where Micha was from, Morashti. Okay, Vayetze Asa Lefanav, Vayarchum Milchama Begates Tzfat and Moresha, Vayikra Asa El Hashem Elokav, Vayomar. And he called out to God and he said, Hashem, Einim Chol La'azor Bein Rav La'ein Koach. God, there's nothing for you to help the few against the many, right? What difference does it make whether you have many or you have people who have no strength at all? Azreinu Hashem Elokeinu ki alacha nishanu uveshimcha banu el amon hazeh. Okay. Now, in the Israelite side, there were 280,000, right? 280,000 archers and 300,000 soldiers. But look how many were on the Ethiopian side. Verse 8, it says they had Elef Alafim. That means a million. A million soldiers, right? Okay, and many chariots.
How does it get to Ethiopia?
Fighting him? No. Okay. Ethiopians were often hired as mercenaries to help one against another. They were hired soldiers. Okay. So he's very vastly outnumbered. And it says in Pasuk Yud-Alef, Vayigof Hashem es Hakushim. Okay, he defeated them very soundly. Okay. Okay. So, good. That's part one. He's a warrior. He fights with the name of God, like David HaMelech against Goliath. Turn to chapter 15, please. A prophet named Azariahu ben Odeid. Did you ever hear of him?
No.
No. He's not in Melachim. There are stories, you know, the stories about Asa in Sefer Melachim are very short. It's three whole chapters in Divrei Hayamim. Okay. So it says, Azariah ben Odeid came to congratulate Asa. This is a rarity, because I have to tell you, it's very rare for the Tanakh to tell us about a prophet who just goes over to a king or the people and saying, things are great, you're doing fine, the stock is up and we're doing great. But usually prophets just tell them when they're doing something wrong. I am sure the prophets did tell them when it was good. It's just that doesn't get into
maybe
the Bible.
Because good news is not good, it's not news. So maybe they're not writing it. So.
Could be. This is why perhaps in Sefer Yirmiyahu, although that prophet spoke to Israel during the reign of five kings, Yoshiyahu for 18 years, then Yehoahaz for 3 years, Yehoiakim for 11 years, Yehoiachin for, did I say 3 years for Yehoahaz? 3 months. Yeah. 3 months for Yehoahaz, 3 months for Yehoiachin, and then another 11 years for Tzidkiyahu. And there is copious amounts of words that is shared between Yirmiyahu and the last four kings, but not one word is said to Yoshiyahu. Even though he alone ruled for 18 years during Yirmiyahu's day. Hmm. It's almost half the whole tenure. Because he was a very good king. There was no need to talk to him. Yeah. He does not address him in the whole book. Whole chapters with Tzidkiyahu. But not a word to Yoshiyahu. Wasn't necessary. Okay. All right. So here is Azariah ben Odeid. You think what's coming now? Shmoni, Dirshuni Rechiu, and if not, instead he says, Hashem imachem bioschem imovim tidrushu yimatzei lachem. Okay, this is the you know, you have to have the end. Vim tazvuhu yazov eschem. If you seek God, He's there for you. Seek God, and you shall find Him. But if you turn on Him, He'll turn on you. You leave him, he'll leave you. Yomim rabim liYisrael lelo elokei emes ulo kohen morel lelo Torah. There were many years before this where the Jews did not have a true relationship to Torah, to the Mikdash, to the true God. The rest of this chapter speaks about how Asa fixed that situation. And they listened to Odeid, Azariah ben Odeid. Okay? Right, they refer now to another Navi named Odeid, which was probably his father. Okay. All right, so you can see in the next chapter, the Pasuk Yud, that they gathered Bachodesh HaShlishi, Chazal say, to celebrate Shavuos. Okay. Look, notice on Pasuk Yud Dalet, Vayishavu LaHashem b'kol gadol v'trua b'chatzotus v'shofros. The holiday is called Shavuos because it's from the word week. But the word Shavuos also means oaths. Mm-hmm. You ever hear that an oath is a Shavua?
Right.
You ever hear of the saying, Mushpa v'omed mehar Sinai, that we took an oath at Har Sinai to keep the Torah? Mm-hmm. So it has a thematic connection to the oath. And here in the third month, we took an oath of loyalty to God. And it was a time of great joy. You see, the Tanakh is making quite a big deal about how wonderful this king is. Right? Okay, and he ruled 41 years.
How connection okay. to Menashe is it? Menashe was Jewish grandfather or what?
Menashe was no. You have 10 or 11 generations to get to Menashe. Yeah, plenty to go here. Okay. Now, Perek Tet Zayin is what is the Perek I want to end on. Everyone, find your way to Perek Tet Zayin. And okay, now ostensibly we're looking at, we've been studying one of our finest kings, right? Shlomo went sour at the end of his life. I can tell you, David's end is ignominious because of what all of his suffering from Bathsheba. But he turned things around to get the Beis HaMikdash started. At the end of his life in Shmuel and Melachim, you don't get that picture. Only Divrei HaYamim tells us about that. Shmuel and Melachim tell us nothing about his exploits at rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. All right, we already know this about Divrei HaYamim, that it avoids making bad references, especially to David, but even to mostly to the kings of Yehuda. But the agenda of the books are different. You can tell a history from two different standpoints and stress in each one a different thing, and both be true. Okay, look what happens in Perek Tet Zayin. Bishnas Shloshim V'Sheish L'Malchus Asa. He's been king for 36 years. That's a significant amount of time, right? Olo Basha Melech Yisrael Al Yehuda V'Yivenes HaRama L'Vilti Teis Yotzei Bavala Asa Melech Yehuda. Basha cut down the trade routes from the north to the south. Right? Remember, most of the world then is, at least the more advanced world, is to the north. So if you have to go through the desert, through the Jordan, in order to get trade routes up to, you know, Samaria, Babel, up north. All right, Egypt is south, I guess, but Egypt is no great friend of ours. Remember, Egypt harbored Yeravam ben Nevat. Sheshak is the one who stole all our treasures. So I imagine that a king of Yehuda will see a closing off of the trade routes an act of war. It's like closing the Straits of Tiran. Yes. Yes.
Asa was Melech Yehuda?
Yes, 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 yes. Basha is the Melech Yisrael. Basha. Not a good guy. Right? Vayotze Asa Kesef Zahav Me'otro is Beis Hashem Uveis HaMelech Vayishlach El Ben Hadad Melech Aram Hayoshev B'Dar Mesek Lemor. Uh-oh. Okay, there's a threat to the north. Right? You can see what this is. When you do something like this, you're baiting. You're baiting someone. You can go straight to war against them. Now, look, it's 10 tribes against 2. The smart money would not be on Asa, right? But Basha doesn't go to war with Asa. He just cuts off their trade routes. What does Asa do? He sends a great, whatever tribute was left, I don't know, because the treasures were taken, but he sends a tribute to Syria. Damascus is Syria.
This is from the Beis HaMikdash, the money, or from the kingship?
He has a treasury. So he you see what's happening here. If I'm to the south, we make a sandwich. You can cut them off from two ends. So he sends a, call it a shochad, it's a bribe, up north to Damascus. Now, as you can imagine, Damascus, this continues to the time of Yeshayahu, yes, had a pact with the northern tribes. You see, if you're going to be corrupt, at least stay corrupt. Right? You know what I'm saying? What kind of honor is this? Because Yehuda gives you a higher tribute than you without any second thought,
no,
you
just
abrogate your treaty with the northern tribes, and then now I'll support it. It's crazy, right? Okay. So he says, Bris beniu venecho venaviu venavicha. Hinei shalachti lecha kesef izav lecha fair brischa es ba'asha melech Yisrael v'yale me'alai. I'm going to pay you more so that you can abrogate the covenant you have with Basha. V'yishma ben hadad al melech asavi shlach es sarei hachayalim ha'shalo el arei Yisrael v'yaku es iyon ves don ves avel mayim v'eis kol miskino sarei Naphtali. So when Basha heard that this doesn't say whether he knew that Asa was behind this. He doesn't probably figured it out, but when the Aram starts chipping away at strongholds of Basha, it's time to if you have a siege, you have to maintain it. Right, if you're cutting off the trade routes, you've got you can't just put up a bar there, so they had to leave those barriers and they moved away, and now us had free reign to move about. Okay, v'asa melech hakachas kol Yehuda v'yisu es avnei harama v'eseitzel asher bano v'asha v'even bohem es geva v'esamitzvah. Wow, this must have been some wall. Gonna get to Donald Trump to see how they did this, right? Okay. All right. So they took down the barriers, and they used the barriers for other things. Va'esahi bochana niharoe el asa. So now, this is no longer Azariah ben Odeid. Now another Navi we don't know from Sefer Melachim. Look at this. So if you ever learn a course, HaMelech BaHaNavi, you have to be well into Divrei Yamim, because now it starts here, and you'll see some other cases as well. And he says, V'yomer Elav, Behisho Encho Al Melech Aram, V'lo Nishanta Al Hashem Elokecha, Al Kenim Latchel Melech Aram Yodecha. Who said, why did you begin to rely on other nations? Who saved you from the Kushim when they outnumbered you 2-1? What's going on here? He says, Halo Akushim Valubim Ayu Lachayala Rov Larechav Laporshim Larbe Ma'od. Uvishaincha Al Hashem Nisanam Biyadecha. You relied on God. It's not like, you have what to remember. Luvim, you know who Luvim are? They're cannibals. They were ancient cannibals. We didn't want to be captured by Luvim. Right?
They're very good horses.
Okay, so this is the Musar that Asa is given for relying on another nation. Now, don't bring a raya from here about making a peace pact with another nation. We don't have prophets today. We have to live in the real world. I know that there are some people who claim from this very story, and others like it, to be sure, that we're not allowed to make peace treaties with our neighbors in the Middle East. I don't see it. We're not prophets today. Let a prophet tell us whether that's wise or not. Okay, we have to live in the real world, and we have to do the best we can to keep our... keep it so that our boys don't have to spend the flower of their youth in the army.
Isn't this a parallel to Rabbi Akiva when he took his support back because
Bar Kokhba turned it in?
He took the Sumerians to help him?
Yes. It's not quite clear in rabbinic sources. It's really the Rambam, Maimonides, one of the main sources. Of speaking about Rabbi Kiva's support of Bar Kokhba. Okay, so let's see what happens. So he speaks. The speech is not so protracted. He said, "When you relied on God against the Kushim and the Luvim, the Luvim weren't mentioned before; they're mentioned here. But he's just trying to say how important it was that you relied on God and you were saved then. This battle was not on that level. Right?
But even the war.
So what do you have to... And plus, there's something a little odious about the Jews of the south appealing to Gentiles up north to fight other Jews. I guess if it's Jew against Jew, is it so much worse for one of those Jews to seek the help of someone else? I don't know. Just doesn't rub me right. And it didn't rub the prophet right. So it says, look, Ki Hashem Einav Mishotetos B'chol Ha'aretz Lischazekim Levavam Sholeim Elav Niskalta Alzos Kimeatah Yeshim Cha Milchamos. He said, God is able to see everything that's needed in order for your side to win. And He's on your side. You did a silly thing. Now you're going to have a lot of battles. Niskalta, the same word that Shmuel used when he spoke to Shaul. Niskalta is one of those words in Hebrew that means the same. It's opposite. Nearly. A sochol is a fool.
Yeah.
You acted foolishly. But sechel, right, means common sense. You know.
Right?
So I think the real pshat of what this is that niskalta is one of those inverted words like simla, salma, keves, kesev, nechsholim, necheloshim. It's really ksil. Right? It's ksil. Ksil is a richtiger fool, right? Ishbar lo yadal, ksil lo yavinezos. So sachol is just, you know, sakosa be'onon is kisa, suka kisa, suka covers you. Right, so Hebrew does that a lot. There are at least 100 words like that in the Tanakh, where you have to get the real meaning of something by just switching two words.
Two letters?
Right. Two letters, I'm sorry. Yeah. When he says, Niskal pasuk tes, 16:9, Nachum speaks about Eish plodos. What's plodos? Lapidos.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay.
What is the word for sober? Isn't that also one of those words like shikar and...
What was the word?
The word for sober in Hebrew.
Sober?
Shikar, am I the sober? Is it also that kind of period?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Do you know its usage in there?
No, but I just...
It's used that way? We'll have to figure it out. Okay. All right, so let's see how Asa reacts to this. Now, here's the thing. It's an interesting thing. Shaul, not quite clear from the text how long he was king, but some Pashtunim say he was king 20, 25 years. And the Gemara considers, you know, that when it says, Mishikma v'malak v'om mikol ha'om, he was ben Shaul, ben Shana, Shaul b'malcho, he was very innocent and he was very humble. So your problem is that when you're so sure that you're perfect, and you go 36 years and you advance your kingdom and you add so much to it,
gaiva.
You become a gaiva. But also you can't see that you can do wrong. Who are you to tell me how to strategize, how to best save my people? I have a place to govern. I have a people to save. That was the only way I could save them. Excuse me, this isn't just a news reporter rebuking. This is a prophet of God. What's interesting is that the prophet never tells him, Ko Amar Hashem, this is what God told me to tell you. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe the prophet just came to him and said, Asa, we don't do things this way here.
The prophet just walked up to the door of the palace and spoke to the king.
Yeah.
Yes, but the king gets
to
agreement.
Okay, so I submit to you that this is we're seeing something new here, because we have a good, benevolent king. He's been described as a good king. He's only ruling 41 years, he's ruled 36 already, and this has been nothing wrong yet. Right? But alas, Vayichas Asa Pasukud Es El Haro'eh. So now they're calling him the Ro'eh, the seer. I have something interesting about this. There are three prophets that wrote Sefer Shmuel. It says so here in Divrei Yamim Aleph. They are Shmuel Haro'eh, God HaChozeh and Natan HaNavi. Three Hebrew words, all of which refer to the, what we might call today, the prophet. Right? Okay. The word Ro'eh or Chozeh is more akin to the word for seer. Seer means one who sees into the future. Chozeh lachzot b'noam Hashem, chazon Yeshayahu is to see. Ro'eh, of course. But the word Navi, it's not quite clear where it comes from. It's a big machlokas we've shown him. I prefer Rashi, but the word Navi means, it comes from the word Niv. Borei Niv Sfaseihu. The Navi speaks. Right? When the Gemara in the beginning of Megillah, if you remember, says that Daniel said, hey, there Nevi'im, referring to Chagai Zechariah Malachi, Aval ani eino Navi. What do you mean you're not a Navi? Daniel gives us the most far-reaching Nevuos of the whole Bible, and he's saying, I'm not a Navi? Right? He's not a Nevi'im. He's in Ksuvim. Ksuvim are prophecies meant to be written down to be read. If you're a Nevi'im, you're giving prophecy that was meant only not only to be read, but also to be spoken. Unless it was largely, historical books like Yeshua Shofar Shmuel Malachim, where there's some prophecies in the middle, but that's something. But be it as it may, the Navi speaks. That's why Nasan is always giving these very flowery speeches. Right. So when it refers here to the Vayichas Osa El HaRo'eh, what sense do you get from this? That's for sure. A Navi can also do that. Is that if he was a Navi, he would have spoken with more tact. He would have come to him with a Natan-esque kind of parable, where the prophet would be able to see himself, like David said when he said, "Atah, she created some kind of story where David could pronounce sentence where he would recognize himself afterwards." If he were a Navi who went to Navi school, right, mm-hmm. which would certainly hone your vocabulary and your presentation and your right. So, if this person were a Navi, things might have happened differently. I'm dashing. That this is why the text refers to him as the Ro'eh. He just saw something in the future. And look, this is why the prophets tended to be quite fire and brimstone. What do you think? I'm worried about how my presentation is going to be taken? I have lives to save here. You know what I'm saying? If you're convinced that in 2 days there's going to be some terrible kind of plague here, right? Unless we somehow do a remarkable tshuva, I don't have time to work and deliver my best speech. I'm just going to go out there and fire and brimstone, tell them what you need to do, and hope that they believe you. You see, the prophets were not being paid by their audience. Mm-hmm. And they were fully convinced that they were delivering a message directly from God. So, you don't worry about what your audience is thinking. You just have to get the message across.
How we can make parnasa? They need to discuss somebody supported them during their lives.
Who
supported them during the process, get money, support them, food, and life.
Who supports these prophets?
Yeah.
So, apparently, this is a binyan av, we learned from Amos that the prophets had their jobs. This was a side gig. You write down what you do, you say, prophet's not my full-time job.
Well,
Miyagi,
was a lot of prison, most time in prison.
Okay. Maybe they had some family members who sent. But Amos, it says two different occupations that he kept. So he was a Minanoktim, and he was Boleis Shikmim. Now, when he gave a particularly egregious prophecy to the northern kingdom, and the Kohen Gadol Amatzia said to him, "Get out of here! Don't give prophecies like this. This is a mikdash melech, and it's an ir malucha. We take lechadodi from there, and you're speaking against an ir ve'im b'Yisrael." So he tells him, "Go down south where you came from to Tekoa, and earn your keep there and eat your bread there." So Amos says, "I'm not a Navi. I'm not the son of a Navi. Lo Navi Anochi, lo Ben Navi Anochi. Ela Boleis Shikmim Anochi." Sycamore trees. 10 sycamore trees. So what's he saying? Because the prophet, the high priest was telling him, "Listen, go down like all the other prophets. Give them good prophecies and earn a living that way. And you gave a good prophecy. Someone gave you a little pigeon. They gave you a check, you know. Right? But you, Amos, you're stupid. You don't tell the people what they want to hear, so they're not going to pay you." So he takes basically telling them, "I don't need to give prophecy like that. I have my own job. I earn a living." Right? Those other charlatans, that's their job. Right? And that's why a shochet has to be paid the same whether he produces a trefa or he produces a kosher, because if he's paid more for the kosher ones, of course he's always going to pass them kosher. Okay, so, yes, come here.
When it came to knowing who was a prophet, like, how did they know? They all went to prophet school. If they came out giving prophecies, they were prophets. But before that, did they give any prophecy? Or no, it was only out
this
of prophecy?
This is a very, very complicated issue. The Rambam discusses some of this in the Chosu Sodei HaTorah, in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah. And he cautions us, do not ask the prophet to perform a miracle. That's not the way to test him. There could be some real charlatans who are good at performing miracles and sleight of hands, and they'll drive you astray. He says that they have like a chazaka, an assumption that when they speak things that come true, and they don't defy any word of God, certainly not permanently. You know, you may have like what's called a hara shah, like Eliyahu took the prophet's tara karma. So it's not quite clear. You know, there's a medrash that says Yirmiyahu begged God, "God, can't you give me like a staff like Moshe had so that I can get the people to trust me that I'm telling them the truth, that they really do speak to me?" So God said, you know, God has a sense of humor, and he said that, "Listen, Moshe had one of those and it didn't help him much. As good as Kalfin. This is stiff-necked people, and no matter what you do, they're going to doubt you. So just make your best presentation, be convincing, right? Okay? It's amazing, because even though they saw that everything he said came true, at the very end, they defied him again. They took him down to Egypt, they worshipped the Queen of the Heavens. Very sad. Well, we're going to see that later, when we get up to Yishayahu and Yirmiyahu. All right, so it says that, Vayichas Asa, El Haro'eh, Vayitznehu Beis HaMapeches, Ki Bezafi Mo'al Zos. What is this? I mean, but that's the way a king might be. You're talking to someone who for 36 years hasn't had a failure. I've been building up Israel so phenomenally. And you're telling me I've misjudged about the way I saved my people? They put him into the Ma'apeches. What's a Ma'apeches? It could be a definition of jail in general, but Ma'apeches is probably more likely the stocks. Mm-hmm. Huh. Which is worse than jail. You're just sitting there with
people
throw things at you. Yirmiyahu is in those things a lot also. All right, so, Ki b'zafi mo'azos, v'yirat tzeitz osa mina'om ba'isahi. What's this, v'yirat tzeitz mina'om? It's vayirotetsu, remember vayisrotetsu, it's the struggle.
Yeah.
Right? So vayiratseitz, asa min ha'am ba'isahi, v'hinei divrei asa v'shanim v'achonim minam k'suvim, al sefer ha'malochim li'yuda v'Yisrael. You go look back earlier in the Tanakh to sefer ha'malochim, you'll see some more stories about asa. Now look at this, what's going on here?
So just before, where it says ki b'zaf, who are they talking about,
b'zaf? He got, anger. Zaf is like a stormy anger, you know. Zav describes his anger on the prophet. Zav is describes a very heavy wind, a strong wind and a storm. Okay, so here it says Vayachala Asa Bishnas Shloshim Vateshal Malchuso Baraglav. In the 39th year, maybe he's only king another 2 years, he started to suffer from what looks like gout. And when he got sick, look at that, he did it again. He didn't turn to God, he went to the doctors. What's wrong with that?
Should have gone to God and gone
exactly.
to the doctors.
Go to God and the doctors. I remember once I was mamish my first funeral at Congregation Ohev Shalom. I'm a 23-year-old whippersnapper, and I'm going. I found that afterwards, this guy was the main supporter of the shul, but as secular as it comes, comes to shul. I hadn't seen him the whole year. He just comes for Shon Yom Kippur. Anyway, on the way home, burying his wife, he says, "You know, my wife always said it's better to be good than to be from."
What? You mean it's one or the other?
So I said, my grandmother told me once that it's possible to be good and from. Wow, what a chiddush. He may be right that if you have to choose between from and bad, right? Or good and secular. I don't know. Maybe we can debate this, maybe using Gemara as the sources if you want, right? Tzadik, Ra, Rasha, you know, the Gemara at the end of the first parak in Kiddushin discusses this debate. But to tell me that it's better. So he's saying, Tanakh is saying that he went to the doctors, but he didn't go to God. But don't you see why he didn't go to God? Because he already set that trend.
Mm.
Right?
He makes the decisions.
And he goes to the to Aram instead of turning to God like he always had. If you read through all of Divrei Yomim, you'll see this is one of the purposes of Divrei Yomim. You see so many stories like this of things turning around because the person put the total faith in God. So it says that because he turned to the doctors and not God, I must tell you, this is the way all of the commentaries, but one, I'll tell you who it is in a minute, maybe you can guess. All the commentaries, but one, understand this. Because on the face of it, it looks like we're not allowed to go to a doctor. Unless you want to say that it's just the king. The king is to serve by example, but no, why? You know which commentary I'm thinking of? What? Ibn Ezra.
Yeah.
Ibn Ezra insists in his commentary, and Ramban has something of a compromise, but Ibn Ezra in his commentary insists from this story that you're not allowed to go to a doctor for any purpose unless the thing you're going to the doctor for was initiated by you or another person.
What?
Torah says that if someone hits you and causes damage, it says rak shifto yitain v'rapo yirapay. You have to pay his loss of work, and the Gemara says you have to pay his damages and his pain and his embarrassment, loss of work, and his doctor bills. So Ibn Ezra says, please, if you're allowed to go to the doctor, why was God angry with Asa? He goes, because Asa's gout was not attributed to anything. Well, if he was living in our time, he'd say, of course, it's attributed to your bad eating habits. Right? That's you did something. It's like you took a hammer and you hit yourself overhead. Of course you can go to a doctor for that. Right? Okay, but he didn't know that. Right? Okay, so that is, Ibn Ezra is very firm about that. Ramban makes a chiddush. He says, no, in the time of Tanakh, when you have Nevi'im, if you have terrible pain in your foot, you go to the Navi. But Asa already burnt that bridge. Right?
Would I be in prison?
Okay, it's like you know, why didn't you know, in Shmuel when Shaul had no place to turn. He killed all the Kohanim, so he couldn't go to the Urim B'Tumim, right? He was not in good place with Shmuel, who was dead already. So anyway, with Asa, it is... Ramban says that because Asa was living in the time of Tanakh, the Tanakh gets angry with him for going straight to the doctor. There are prophets around. I mean, Bli Ein Navi B'Yisrael? Trivia question. Who went to Baal Zvuv, the Lord of the Flies, to find out what's going to happen to his son? And then the prophet said, Hamibli Ein Navi B'Yisrael? Is there a no Navi in Israel that you have to go to Baal Zvuv in order to find out what's going to happen to your son?
It's not Shaul.
No, it's Eliyahu. Eliyahu HaNavi tells the...
Tells Achav.
It was Achav's son by that time. So, bless you. So, anyway, you go to the prophet, it's Tanakh. There are prophets around town. Right. So I got to tell you that it's a very Nebuchadnezzar tshuva. It doesn't say what happened at the end of the tshuva, but a man writes to the Tashbates. This is the 12th century, and he says, "I have this terrible pain in my side, and something is growing out of my side, and I can feel this keep growing and growing. I don't know what to do about it." Right. So I read in Ibn Ezra's Perush that you're not allowed to go to a doctor unless you can attribute your pain to something a person did to you. No person hit me there, no person, I just felt it, there's something wrong. So the Tajbe's answer is, you don't waste a second. Go to the doctor as soon as you read these words. Ibn Ezra's Nama Oretz, and don't listen to him. he's an ignoramus about the halacha. He may know a thing or two about the biblical text, in the commentaries, but he's Tashbetz. So, what can I say? I once had this one. It's called what's this thing called? Ganglion. You know that one? So it was getting very big. So it was a Russian doctor who I helped get to America, and he passed away since then. And I got him some work. He couldn't operate here, but he had his little physician bag, and he went around with his stethoscope, and I got him, you know, just to check on people and to give them advice about what they need to do. Remember, his name was Vasily. So I showed him this thing, and it was getting very big. So he said, "Oh, I know what to do with this." He didn't do it for me. I ended up doing it myself. But he said, if you just keep it like this, it was so big that it was a lump right there.
Wow.
And he said, take a thin book, but with a hard cover, and just smack it.
It works.
And I did it. I've never had it again.
Really?
It works.
I did it with Mishnais. I did it myself. A kahati. I did it with a kahati, hard
just,
cover.
Just
kahati.
One slice?
I gave it a whack myself.
One whack.
It's got a little red, and it just...
Right away
that day.
Oh my God.
I had it for months, and it was getting big.
Really?
I heard of this before. I think it's taking a book and handing it.
Yep.
Wow.
So I didn't go, and I didn't.
Mishnayis.
I don't know, is that called going to the doctor or not? I don't know. But I did it myself. Okay, so I think, yeah, it's 9 o'clock already. So we'll go next door to Davin Maariv. We're going to continue next time with Yoash. Oh my goodness, his story is even more crazy than this. And there's a Tisha B'Av aspect to it. It's really very, it's very upsetting. But, yeah, okay.
All right.